Our passage tonight is 1 John chapter 5, verses 3b to 5. True spirituality's victory over burdensome legalism. False spirituality is often oppressive. A characteristic of the Phariseeism of Jesus' day, according to Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. You'll recall in that passage, Jesus said that the Pharisees have a tendency to put great big heavy burdens on the backs of people and not use a single finger to lift them. Well, for this reason, Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, called those who had been heavily laden by the legalism of the Pharisees to come unto him for rest. Dr. Dwight Pentecost, in his book, The Words and Works of Jesus Christ, points this out in verses, page 201 and 202 of his book. Well, 1 John chapter 5, verses 3b to 5, teaches how true spirituality is not oppressive legalism, and how one is freed from legalism as well. It's implied in the passage. I'd like to look at the passage, and then we'll get into the explanation of 1 John chapter 5. I'll start at the first part of the verse, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, after clarifying in verse 3a that the true love of God in a believer is seen in his heeding God's commands, John added in 1 John 5:3b in the King James Version that those commandments of God are not grievous. That's the word that he used. The Greek New Testament word behind the King James Version word grievous here is the Greek word barous, and its use here counters false legalism as follows. The term barous means burdensome, and it is used in Matthew 23, verse 4 of the heavy burdens that the Pharisees laid on others under the yoke of the Mosaic Law. I didn't know that until I studied this passage, but it's the same word that is used there. So Jesus was speaking of legalism, and John is speaking of it here as well. Since barous is also used here in 1 John 5:3 to imply what false spirituality was like, Jesus in Matthew 23:4, in his critique of legalism, legalistic Phariseeism with its added man-made burdensome rules, as critiqued in Matthew 15:8-9, reveals for us here in 1 John 5:3 that oppressive legalism is a form of false spirituality. Now, I had cited here Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 to 9. That is probably, in a nutshell, a tremendous definition of legalism. Legalism is where you have a man-made rule that is added that is not made by God. And people treat the man-made rule with authority as though it were God's rule. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. I'll read those verses here. Jesus said, "This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching as though it was doctrine, or teaching the authority as what are simply the commandments of men. Well, since 1 John 5:4 begins with the Greek term hati, and it's used in this context to carry the causal force to be rendered because or since, verse 4 explains how God's commandments are not legalistically burdensome, as is taught in 1 John 5:3. There are many people who will look at the commands of the Bible and think any command is legalistic. That's not so. The commands that God has, if we follow God's word and how to obey the commands, they're not burdensome. They're not legalistic. Legalism is something that happens because a person is approaching the words of God in an incorrect manner. Well, John explains the basis for victory over living under the yoke of burdensome legalism has already been provided for everyone who has been permanently born. Gegenemenon. That's the perfect passive participle of to be born of God. It's interesting, you have a perfect passive participle again. Here again, in the Greek text, you have with the perfect tense, eternal security is implied, unconditional salvation security. You've been saved once and you're forever saved. And then the passive participle, the passive tense means that God saves you. You don't save yourself. You're saved by an authority outside of yourself. So once again, you have salvation by grace, and it's salvation that involves eternal security. So those who were regenerated by God's grace apart from human meritorious works, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and the passive voice in Gegenimenon, so that they are unconditionally eternally secure in their salvation produced by God, that's a perfect tense, have the means of gaining victory over burdensome legalism. In other words, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you actually have the vehicle and the means within you of overcoming burdensome legalism in your life. Okay, how does that work? Those who have been permanently born of God are right now currently gaining victory. That's the Greek word nikah, from from the verb nikao, over the world system that is satanically blinded to the gospel. In other words, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have seen through the error of the world, you've put your faith in Christ, and you've overcome the deception of the world. And the deception is Satan's effort to try to deceive the world and to not believing that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. So you positionally have already overcome the world if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, accordingly, John suggests that such faith is the secret of the believer's continuing victory. And for that reason, obedience to God's commands need not be burdensome. In other words, the faith that we exercised in Jesus Christ in order to be saved, that faith is something that God wants us to continue to use. And as we continue to use that faith, then we have victory over the burdensomeness of legalism. We get victory over it. Now, we summarize God's teaching on gaining victory over oppressive legalistic spirituality as follows. True spirituality heeds God's commands, not the commands of man that are added in addition to and promoted over even God's commands in the form of legalism. Both my wife and I have come from very legalistic backgrounds where there were lots of man-made rules that were added to what the Word of God said. We were raised in it, and we've been purged of that. The Lord has led us through that, and we've come out the other end. And it's a tremendous release to get away from that intense legalism that's there. However, in heeding God's biblical commands, a believer in true spirituality has the basis for heeding the Lord's commands already built into his positional victory when he believed in Jesus as God's Son, so as to be saved by God's grace and a standing of unconditional salvation security. So, that expression of faith sets the pattern for victory over artificial, legalistic spirituality in Christian living. Just as one trusted in Christ to be saved, he is to continue trusting God to supply the motivation and the power he needs to heed God's word in the Christian life. So he finds that keeping those commands are not a burden, since God is living himself through the believer. Now, I put three verses down, and I'm going to take some time to look at them. I didn't have room in the passage, but I'm going to discuss them here briefly. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, wonderful passage. And the Apostle Paul wrote here that the righteousness of the law, verses 3 and 4, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the sinful nature, that's the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. If we rely upon the Holy Spirit and we are therefore living life in the power of the Holy Spirit, God is at work in us to equip us to live the righteousness of the law. Now, we're not bound to keep the Mosaic law. We're free from the law as far as a system of rules. But the righteousness of God that is revealed in the law is something that we actually do keep. Like the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. It says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Now, those are rules, specific rules, that we're not under today because we're free from the Mosaic law. However, when a person is controlled by the Spirit of God, he'll automatically want to and will honor his parents. He will want to and will not lie. he will automatically not want to steal and do these other things that are implied within the law. So that's very important. Another passage, one of my very favorite, is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And this ought to be an encouragement to Christians. A lot of times Christians feel that if they do what they want to do, that somehow they're sinning. That can be true if we're trying to do that which is in disobedience to the Lord. But the Holy Spirit is working in the believer so that when the believer is relying on the Holy Spirit is actually controlling his motivation, so he makes him want to do that which is the right thing. Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, rather, verses 12 and 13, Paul writes, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." He doesn't mean that work in order to earn your salvation, but make your salvation work on the outside in your life. Show it up in your life. For, verse 13, notice, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we rely upon the Holy Spirit gives us the motivation inside to the want to go in the direction that God wants us to go. So that's why, remember in the sermon that we had this morning, Samuel told Saul at one point, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you'll be changed into another man, and then do what you want because it'll be God who's with you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's making him want to do the same thing. So here we have this morning's sermon matching a truth that we have in the message here tonight. So that's Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Galatians 2, 20 is a tremendous passage. I know this from memory. The Bible says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The key there is I live by faith, and it is the Son of God who's living through me. That's the real key of this Christian life, is to give up trying to live it yourself. Relax and let the Holy Spirit live through you. He has the power. He has the motivation. So just relax and let him do it, and he will do it. So the artificial spirituality of legalism is burdensome for a couple reasons. First, one who practices it tries by futile human effort, B, to keep not only God's commands, but C, also man's added extra biblical rules. So if you're trying to do it in human effort, it's burdensome. If you're trying to keep man's rules instead of what God wants you to do, that's burdensome. Conversely, true spirituality is based on one's position in Christ's salvation and grace, so that one relies on faith, on God, to supply the motivation and the power to heed God's commands, not man's added rules. It makes the keeping of those commands of the Lord not at all burdensome. So, may we abandon human effort to try keeping God's commands and man's added rules in order to rely on the Holy Spirit for the motivation and the power always to heed just God's commands, and so live by grace. It was interesting. I was wondering what illustration I would use on this, and my wife was on the internet this afternoon and found out that there was a bombing, suicide bombing in Baghdad today. And in the initial blast, 120 people died, all right? And there were another, 40-some people who were injured. There may be more people who die and so forth. And it was the Sunni versus the Shiite brands of Muslim. And we got to talking about, my wife and I started talking about this. It's really tragic because the Islamic faith is built, as we know, on man-made error. And you've got two different groups that interpret man-made error two different ways, the Sunnis and the Shia. They both view each other as infidels, and so the goal, according to this false religion, is to kill each other. So here you have people killing each other over a falsehood that both believe. And that's an incredible bondage. That is the ultimate in legalism. It's the ultimate. But you know, the same thing happens in Christian circles when people live by man-made regulations or live by means of the flesh. There's this attacking that goes on, battling that goes on, struggle, this fight that goes on, and it's just endless. And you wonder, when is this thing going to stop? The only way it stops is when believers involved in the process come to realize they need to rely on the Spirit of God for the motivation and the will to do God's will, what God says in His Word. And when that happens, everything turns out great. So may we learn from this. And incidentally, this area that we're covering here tonight, this issue of burdensome legalism, it is huge, a huge problem in Christian circles all over the place. It's mammoth. I've worked in churches in Oregon, in Washington, in California, in Texas, Nebraska, here in Connecticut. I've seen this in many, many situations in churches. It's something, and it's a big problem. But may God help us to look to the Word of God, but rely on the Holy Spirit. That's the key. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to live lives that are upright.